You found the right choice. It's the rebirth of Common Sense Talk Radio. We are the Morning Jam.
7:06 on the Morning Jam. He comes on the show every now and then to tell us what's going on in the city of Lynchburg. Chris Feraldi with us right now. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, guys. How was your Thanksgiving? I hope you all enjoyed your holiday and got enough turkey in your system. I'm still recovering. So.
I think a lot of people are still recovering.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm recovering from the turkey or the pie more, but we'll figure that out in, I guess, a week or so when I weigh myself.
Yeah, really.
You might want to wait until, you know, after Christmas to...
Yeah, probably. That's probably the right move.
To get that done. Well, speaking of trying to recover, the city of Lynchburg is struggling now. Headlines are not great. Mm-mm. We did a story yesterday about Lynchburg having multiple shootings within a 12-hour time period, and it was just kind of overwhelming. Just going through all of those incidents, and our police department is not equipped to handle this level of violence, and maybe the violence is up because we're so understaffed.
They're not equipped to handle what the current crime situation, the current violent crime situation is before us. That's pretty close to being on point, Janet. When you look at the string of violent crime this year, it's already the bloodiest year, the most deadly year in Lynchburg's history. 8 homicides this year makes this calendar year the most violent, most deadly year in the history of Lynchburg. Then you throw in all the increase in malicious woundings and shots fired calls. You're looking at hundreds of calls throughout the year, all couched in this narrative of from about a year and a half ago, where the defund the police movement came out, and we're going to make sure that police don't do certain things and can't engage in certain ways. Well, gee, now you're saying a massive spike in crime.
Shocking.
Shocker.
Mm-hmm.
And so you now find ourselves where a headline comes out like it did this past weekend, as you mentioned, where they say five pieces of violent crime. Not sure all of them were shootings, but...
No, some were stabbings.
In a 48-hour period. Oh, my goodness. You had multiple knifings. You had a couple shootings. Great. What else can we put on the platter? My goodness, what are we going to do to put an end to this nonsense? This city is not, it is not Richmond, it is not Detroit, it is not any of those major Democrat cities. Yet, I would say, the same type of folks are in charge of the city who've been in charge for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing massive spikes in violent crime, higher taxes, degrading school systems. I guess we are starting to be more like those cities, and it's time for the folks in Lynchburg to really start paying attention to this stuff and going to their local leaders and saying, what are you going to do about this? The fact of the matter is, we didn't increase starting pay for police officers in the previous budget. We didn't hire any more positions for the budget. And one of the other articles, I was talking to Mark offline before we got started live, was that the police department has seen a 90% decrease in applications in the past 10 years.
But you can't blame them. I mean, we're seeing that across the country right now.
Yes, but Janet, I hear that so often, and I don't mean to criticize you or anyone else.
I'm not saying that's all of it at all.
Lynchburg should not be a part of a trend. We should be setting the trend.
I agree.
Why is this a problem? We're not doing enough to attract in. Okay, we can't recruit brand new officers. Great. That means what we have to be doing is setting up an attraction pool in some way and saying, if you transfer into Lynchburg from any of those cities, any of those counties, here's what we'll pay you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not common sense, so to speak, but it doesn't seem to be as complicated as, you know, well, gee, we need to get as many 21-year-olds to come be, or 18-year-olds to come be a police officer. Well, let's recruit, let's, sorry, let's recruit the folks from other localities. Right. Get them into Lynchburg because we need the help.
Because what we've had happen in Lynchburg, from my experience of working with the police when I was working and doing events there, was this was kind of a starter career city. They would start in Lynchburg, they would get a little time under their belt, and then they would go somewhere else. That is tied a great deal to pay and that type of thing, for sure. Not a lot of retention going on there. Mm-hmm. I think we can agree on that.
That retention piece is all exactly right. I don't know the exact number of positions. It might be 174 or 175 sworn officers. Forgive me for forgetting. Let's say it's 175 in this instance. In the past 20 years, I hope your listeners are paying attention to this data, this piece of data. In the past 20 years, the city of Lynchburg has cycled through 174 officers, the full slate of sworn officer positions, twice.
And I'm going to...
That's the kind of situation we're in, where we're not retaining these officers long-term because they're not being paid. They're getting beat up in the culture war.
Yeah.
And I'm saying enough. Lynchburg, we've got to make sure this is a city of law and order, and I am not going to tolerate anything less. And I know my neighbors feel the same way.
So let me say this. We heard from a couple of listeners who are residents in the city of Lynchburg, and they allege that because I had mentioned to you these trends that we're seeing across the country and how I think that they are impacting the lack of applications that we're getting. Let me finish that thought for you.
Sure.
The reason that I think that is happening is, based on what I'm hearing from listeners, is that our current police department is falling prey to making choices based on what is PC right now. They're not, they're less likely to make the hard choices that need to be made because they don't want to be called racist. They don't want to be called, hateful, and that they're targeting, and that they're there are some listeners that are alleging that people have left the police department because they're getting pressure to make decisions that way.
Well,
that's a problem.
Target that, and not so much at the local level, but you can look at some of the legislation the Democrats passed in Richmond just last year. I mean, they passed legislation that you cannot do certain things, you can't pull certain people over because of a tag being out, a taillight tag being out on the back of the car. Or you can't pull someone over if their car smells like marijuana. Or you can't do certain things because the intent of the legislation was, we think that folks in the minority communities get pulled over too much, too quickly for some of these minor offenses. So we're going to say you can't do it at all. The unintended outcome that Republicans argued now is saying, all right, let's find another solution to that, because if you do this, which is what they did, you're going to find that there's going to be less encounters in the police realm, and there's going to be more crime, more emboldened crime. Well, guess what? That's exactly what's happened. The Democrats in Richmond are pulling the police out of the neighborhoods, and as a result, you're not having folks in the police department being able to actually patrol the neighborhoods, go into the neighborhoods and meet people and grow relationships and develop those connections, so that they can actually have a relationship with those neighbors and say, what's going on here and how can I be helpful? I'll give you an example, too. Another thing that's really impacting us. Right now, the way the legislation and the law works, if there's a mental health issue in the hospital, Lynchburg Police Department has to actually station a sworn officer at that medical bed for up to 72 hours. So we're taking law enforcement off the street and we're putting them into the hospital and standing there. I can tell you straight up, my friends, a couple of them who joined the Lynchburg Police Department and others around the country, did not sign up to be security guards.
Sure.
They signed up to be proactive Crime Stoppers and putting bad people behind bars. Mm-hmm. And that's also affecting us now from a morale standpoint. They're still getting paid. They're still being a police officer. But the downside is they're literally standing sometimes entire shifts with a 10-year-old because that's what the law requires them to do. And instead of being out in the streets, the result for the Lynchburg citizen is sometimes there might be less than seven, less than five officers in the street to answer the calls for service. So now you're also seeing that they're pulling the SROs out of schools and they're putting other folks in there, other ranked officers in there. They're taking people off the homicide unit. They're taking people off the community action team unit because they just need the manpower to do it. And again, I come back to, why didn't we tackle the issue in this previous budget when so-called the number one thing we had to do was public safety staffing per a poll of all of our council members? And then we find that about a month ago that we have a surplus of almost $27 million. We could have done so much, and unfortunately that projection was so far off. And now we have a weekend like we had, and it's just compounding on itself. That something has to be done, and you know, if you ask me, we need more law enforcement. They need to be paid more. They need to be invested in and prioritized.
So we're speaking with Chris Feraldi. He is a councilman for city of Lynchburg, and we're talking about arrests that were made in connection with multiple shootings and malicious woundings that took place in a 12-hour period in the Hill City. Now, one of the things that I think we're all saying here is that, you know, when you don't have visibility of law enforcement on the streets, that just creates and fosters an environment for not great things to happen. Mm-hmm. So we have to work, like you say, at getting fully staffed. And then retaining the police officers that we have. I don't want people to think that we're beating up on the Lynchburg Police Department, because we're not.
No. Oh, far from it. Far from it. I can't tell you how many ride-alongs I've been on since being elected just a year and a half ago. How many brave men and women I've encountered on some of the most crazy situations you could have possibly imagined. And they are far from anything less than professional, humble. All they want to do is serve, and all they want to do is have the career that they believe the Lord has called them to do. No, none of this is faulting them whatsoever. It is partially because of the culture we're in now, where we apparently are supposed to degrade police, defund them to a degree, and Richmond and the capital there, the legislature there, is taking away their proactive ability to enforce laws. And then throw in the fact that Lynchburg isn't defunding the police. We're just not funding them, and we haven't to the extent we need to. All those factors in, you're going to get a city that has increased spikes of violent crime over the course of the years, and that's exactly what we're seeing.
Chris, this is going to take a while to turn the ship. So What do you think we're looking at by way of, because we're dealing with Richmond, we have a new governor. We still have as I understand it, a split legislature, because the Senate is still going to have their majority. Things have to happen in Richmond. Things have to happen in Lynchburg. Where do you see us, and how long? What can we do right now? And then what do we have to do long term?
Well, a couple things. Number one, you are correct when you say this is not a short fix. Because if we were to do everything that I was describing right now, today, increase starting pay, allocate more positions, and so on, that's a stopgap scenario, because then you either need to recruit more cadets, or you need to bring in experienced law enforcement officials from other agencies. Mm-hmm. And with the first, you're talking about a year and a half long process almost before they are ready to go on the street by themselves. Mm-hmm. Right, so before you get that extra relief in, and that's if you can recruit them all, that's a year and a half long process. Then you also have, can we recruit in enough people from the outside to come in to give us the relief we need, and that could be quicker. it depends how appetizing we make Lynchburg. Do we put in a pay band plan that didn't flow well in my tongue, where, you know, okay, if I have this many years experience and I have this many credentials, I will make this much in Lynchburg if I transfer in, love that. I mean, I had a law enforcement officer here in Lynchburg say, listen, Chris, I love Lynchburg. This is where I want to be. But if I transfer to the city of Roanoke right now, I will get an $18,000 pay increase overnight.
Wow.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff we need to be
doing.
And that's
life-changing, yeah.
That we could bring in people right away. So, no, it's not a quick fix. But if you're talking about a timeline, it will take some time. It will take some very hard time, but the longer we wait, the worse it gets.
Sure.
And I'll tell you, the officers we're talking about are looking for that light at the end of the tunnel, and we really need to be demonstrating not only to them but to the community that we are serious, absolutely serious about the safety of our city.
I will say this, though. We want to make sure that we're not doing what's happening with our fire department and that we're bringing in people from other places and paying them more than the people who have already been here and put time in with our city. So there's definitely a right way to do that. As far as our listeners are concerned, if you live in Lynchburg, if you're concerned about stories that we're sharing with you about the crime and the way it's increasing, the best thing you can do, the number one thing you can do, is know who your council person is. Know who they are, know how they vote, know what they stand for, and then you vote your values accordingly.
Because if you don't, I want to thank you so much for always, every time I get on your show with you and Mark, it's to always point that out, because it is so, so critical that representatives hear from the folks they're supposed to be representing.
Right.
You know, I have no question in my mind that this is a job that I was hired to do, and voters owe me nothing, because they've done what they're supposed to do and is elected representative. If anything, having folks keep us in check and make sure that the local government is doing what they need to do to keep their city safe is spot on. I've created a resource for folks to do that. If you live in Lynchburg, just go to votelynchburg.com. You can email the city council right away from there, and you could simply ask, what are you doing to keep me and my family safe?
Thank you so much, Chris Feraldi, for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it. You keep on fighting the good fight, and we're here if you need us.
Thank you both. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you guys.
And we hope to have you back on the show before Christmas, certainly. Next time, come in, and maybe I'll give you a Little Debbie treat. I've got a few. I've got to bring the large cakes in. I told you I found some large Christmas trees. Did I tell you that?
You did not.
Oh, I let the cat out of the bag.
You let the tree out of the box. It's not one of those funky chocolate ones, I hope.
No, I think they were all white cakes.
All right, I got a feel-good story coming up. We'll be back on The Morning Jam.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.